Good morning. Let's turn to Luke chapter 5. Let's go from verse 17. So Luke 5:17. And it came about one day that as he was teaching, there were some Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting there who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present for him to perform healing. Behold, some men were carrying on a bed a man who was paralyzed, and they were trying to bring him in and to set him down in front of him. And not finding any way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down through the tiles with his stretcher right in the center in front of Jesus. And seeing their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven you." And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, "Who is this man who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But Jesus, aware of their reasonings, answered and said to them, "Why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins have been forgiven you,' or to say, 'Rise and walk'? But in order that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, rise and take up your stretcher and go home." And at once he rose up before them and took up what he had been lying on and went home glorifying God. They were all seized with astonishment and began glorifying God, and they were filled with fear, saying, "We have seen remarkable things today." Amen. I'm sure we're all quite familiar with this passage, and you know, you've probably heard a few messages on that. I want to just kind of bring a little, maybe a different twist to it, and hopefully it will help us a little bit in our prayers. You know, I've always seen this passage to be a passage about healing and about faith and, you know, about faith in action. And today, actually, for the first time, I'm actually seeing it as a picture of prayer and a picture of intercession. And these guys had had a friend, and for whatever reason, he just couldn't get into the presence of Jesus. You know, we could draw a lot of different analogies to that, but just the place, in this setting, the place was too full. There was no way in, so they opened up a hole in the roof, and he brought him down. And but notice, you know, this passage compared to the Mark passage, he says he brought him down right in the center, right in front of Jesus. You know, and there was something about him being put in that place right in front of Jesus. You know, and I saw this as a picture of intercession for us. You know, that we're praying for things, especially, you know, we're talking about praying for the impossible. You know, praying for things this year. And a lot of it, I know, that don't really relate to us so much and relates to people around us. And we're really interceding on behalf of, you know, brothers and sisters and, you know, aunts, uncles, you know, all kinds of people. You know, and I want you to be encouraged by this passage and the mode of prayer. You know, obviously we're not going to dig a hole in someone's roof, right, and bring that person in, you know, but I think that's a good picture of what happens when we pray. You know, that as we really begin to intercede for, you know, for the impossible or for people that we've been praying for, it's as if, as friends, that we bring them into the center, right in front of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and Jesus says he's seeing their faith, right? Again, it wasn't the faith of the paralytic, right? It was the faith of the friends, you know? And seeing that faith operate, he said, number one, your sins are forgiven. You know, we talked about yesterday, right? He was able to do much more exceedingly abundantly than we can ever ask or imagine. He goes beyond. He wanted healing, but Jesus gave him something so much more. You know, and whatever we're praying for, whatever we're seeking God for, right, he's able to do so much more. And, of course, that thing that we ask him to. You know, and I just saw a lot of encouragement, you know, from this passage, things that I pray. And even, you know, even this weekend of coming to a place, can you imagine how desperate you must have been for your friend, you know, that you actually open a hole in the roof, you know, you destroy someone's property, you know, to get them in the presence of Jesus. And I shared yesterday, and I've been thinking about this all morning, and actually yesterday as well. You know, if we look at the Lord and the things that he does, you know, for me, I shared yesterday about Emma, you know, and about her arm. And it's amazing to me. And it's the thing that triggers me more than anything else is when I was that morning, when that Sunday morning woke up and she had still been crying and, you know, she didn't stop. And, you know, we finally figured out, wow, there's really something wrong with her arm. You know, and so I grabbed Elise and we, you know, knelt down before Emma and we just started praying. But it was my mentality that changed. You know, I mean, Lisa and I, we pray for our kids all the time, right? I mean, that's just us. Every parent does that. And but this time, we got down and Elise, you know, with me as well. She's actually pretty good at praying. And we knelt down together and it was this desperation in me, you know, that said, God, if you can't do this, then we have nowhere else to go. You know, Lord, if you don't touch her, you know, and sure, I know there's doctors and all these things, but, you know, I mean, you're the healer, God, and if you don't do something, God, you know, this is not good. This is not a good situation, you know, and honestly, and my response to this is, you know, and my reflection, I should say, you know, from that, just that time is that, man, when's the last time I prayed like that? You know, when's the last time I really prayed with that kind of desperation and that kind of unction? You know, and so, you know, we had prayed, and even, you know, when we decided that Lisa would take her to the doctor, and she went, and no pain. You know, the doctor said that he put the elbow back in, and he felt a click. And he said the first time that he's ever done this, because, you know, apparently this happens to kids all the time, right? The first time he's ever done this, he hadn't seen a kid cry. And she just sat there, right? And she came home and everything was fine, right? And so, you know, God really did do something, and, you know, and that's, I mean, that's good news, I think. But the better news was, you know, again, a spiritual correction, you know, and just in the way that I pray, you know, and I... You know, after that, I feel like the Holy Spirit just continued, you know, putting his finger on that, just kind of reminding me, you know, that I haven't really prayed with so much desperation, you know, we are desperate, you know, I mean, let's come down to it, and we're at a place that says, God, if you don't do this, then I don't know what's going to happen, you know, and maybe I've been operating out of such self-sufficiency, I was thinking, oh, yeah, things are going to work out, you know, this and that. And not really, you know, as we talked about yesterday, poured our heart out before the Lord. You know, and, you know, you have this passage that, again, it's a reminder, you know, these guys that operate in their desperation, you know, lower their friend, right, and places him right in the center, right in front of Jesus. And I want to encourage you today as we pray and as we intercede and, you know, as we intercede for different things, you know, through church and our community and our retreat and our missionaries and things like that, and even in your own lives, you know, that there becomes a shift that occurs, in our mindset in some ways, you know, that's not, oh, yeah, God, yeah, bless our speaker and, you know, and yeah, go ahead, you know, you do this and do that. But there'll be more of a sense of urgency when we pray. You know, that we really come to the conclusion, and this is the reality, is that if God doesn't do it, it ain't going to happen. You know, if God doesn't move on our behalf, you know, and our prayers, you know, don't reach that place, we're going to be stuck, you know, and we're going to be maybe offering these prayers for years and generations. Who knows? Right? And, you know, and so let's close our eyes today. And let's think about that and maybe start off with kind of a heart check. You know, and maybe, you know, because it's my little kid, my little girl, you know, I just feel so helpless, you know, when they're sick. And at the same time, you know, that's, isn't that exactly how our Father feels about us? You know, not that he's helpless, but just that heart goes out. And he's the healer. He's the one that can move on our behalf. And so when we're interceding, we're not trying to twist God's arm. We're praying to a God who is able, much more able, and willing if his people would cry out to him. You know, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and seek my face. He said, I'll hear from heaven and I'll hear their land. So as Pastor Nate leads us in a song, let's just begin to look it over our hearts and begin to weed out if there's any self-sufficiency in our prayers that we may come to him in desperation. Let's pray for our church. Let's pray that God would really raise up a prayer movement in the midst of us. Let's pray that we'd really begin to engage God in our prayers and that there would be a change in the atmosphere of Solomon's Porch, that we would be a house of prayer for all nations. And let's just lift up the church and pray that we would be more prayerful. You know, 1 Samuel, you know, talks about prayerlessness, right? And he talks about prayerlessness as not just an activity or a lack of activity, but as a sin. And so as a church, let's just begin to repent just for our lack of prayers, our prayerlessness before the Lord. And let's just offer that to God right now. Let's pray for our house churches tonight. Let's pray that the Lord would just really begin to touch us and bless us. And the churches that meet, there would be a real sense of community and growth. Let's pray for the Lam Kwai Fong House Church, McDonald Road, for Seymour Crest and Star Street. Let's ask the Lord to just continue to bless the leaders, and the churches would really come together, and a real significant ministry would happen tonight. Let's just cover these house churches. Our mission focus is pray for China. Let's pray for the Chungs, and actually the whole family is coming for the retreat, and pray for a real time of refreshing and rejuvenation and bonding for them. Let's pray for good safe travels here on Friday from China. Let's pray for Pastor Nate and Matt's parents as well. They just finished their Easter fast. They didn't have any water or food for the last few days, getting ready for a conference that they're going to have on prayer, on spiritual warfare. And so just continue to pray for strength. And, God's really doing something quite significant in their families. And so just lift them up and ask God to really bless. Matt was sharing with me last Sunday night that, one of the prayers of the impossible for him was, his parents and just kind of their spiritual life. And we can see that God's really moving in that regard, as some of you guys were here when we prayed for them, and the Spirit really fell on them hard. And so let's just really lift them up in their ministry and the warfare that's going around them. They'll be fully equipped, and let's just cover them right now. Let's pray for our retreat. Let's pray that God would really speak to us and would just really cover Stefan and his team, and they're gonna be doing counseling throughout. I just can tell they're just ready to serve, and it's gonna be a wonderful time. And let's pray for our members of our church, that we would just position ourselves and prime ourselves for an encounter Specifically, you know, let's pray for a few people. I know Juhi got her purse stolen and her passport and visa to China was in there. And so she needs to get a new passport and new visa this week before Friday. And so let's really ask God to really move in the Korean embassy and the Chinese embassy. And she'd get her passport and visa. And I just sense that this just was the enemy's attack, you know, just trying to preemptive strike for what God was going to do in her life. And so let's just lift up, and I'm sure that this week there's going to be a lot of other people that are going to be encountering all kinds of warfare. And so let's just pray in advance, and let's just cover you know, the 170 plus people going, and also others that are still making their decisions and schedules and whatnot, and all the logistics. We have a big meeting today as we go over our retreat, and so let's just really ask God to just cover this whole endeavor, that God would just come in such power. Lord, we thank you this morning, God. Lord, we thank you for your word, Lord. And help us, Lord God, to really, Lord, in our hearts, God, just begin to pray with desperation, Father God. Lord, that we would be willing to pull a hole in the roof, Father God, to as we pray and intercede for our friends and our family members, God. And as we pray for them, Lord, let us, in a way, let us put them right in front of you, Jesus, in the center, right in front of Jesus. And Lord, and just give you the opportunity to act, Father God, on their behalf. And we're going to pray in that mind, God, today and for the rest of our lives, Lord. So equip us, Lord, we pray. Oh, we come like the disciples, God, and we say, Lord, teach us to pray. We thank you, Father God. Watch over us today. Watch over our house churches, Lord. Everything that we do, Lord, we pray that we would glorify your Son, Jesus. We thank you, God. We bless you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Have a good day, rest of this day.